This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of Radio Law Talk. This is the most exciting, entertaining, and sometimes informative show on earth. No way does our show compete with the alien shows. And doggone it, Cal, I have not listened to an alien show in quite some time. Because the way you have to listen to an alien show, you can't just listen to it normally, Denise, do you think? You can't just sit there in your house. You have to be somewhere special. And when I listen to alien shows, Cal, there's got to be some music that's going to help here. Just think about it. When you listen to the alien shows, it has to be late at night. You've got to be driving in the Nevada desert. Maybe the Arizona desert would be okay. You've got to get lost on a small country road. And your car needs to break down.
By Winnemucca.
Right Nevada. By the cemetery.
Winnemucca, yeah. By the cemetery or an area where there's nobody. And it's got to be storming, too.
On Halloween when it's the ghost night one.
That's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
And you had just went to the Area 21 just before that.
There you go.
Perfect. Right.
That's what you got to do.
Perfect.
But then you listen to those shows, and they're the best. I'm telling you, when I used to go to college, this was back in the 80s, we used to drive from California to Utah and through and Nevada, and I'd go to Colorado and different other places, and driving across there, you know how you were. Remember when we were college students? You could stay up till like 28 hours straight, where now I can't, you know, stay awake after night. And you drive through there, and man, you listen to 11 o'clock turn on. What's it called? Let's give it a plug. What's it called?
It's George Norrie now.
George Norrie, but yeah. It's called something network. I can't remember the alien network, whatever it's called, something network. But man, we love that. We're not going to compete with them, but we're pretty dang good.
Art Bell, Radio, George Norrie.
Yep,
oh,
yep.
Yeah, good
stuff. Here at Radio Law Talk. If you want to call in, you can call us at 855-LAW-RADIO, 855-529-7234, or email us at info@radiolawtalk.com. We're going to talk about Casey White and his escape from prison, what the latest is. We're going to talk about wrongful conviction case. This one has bizarre facts. We're going to talk about why Uber's being sued again. I'm sure they're being sued a lot. And we did pat myself on the back. Our firm is doing very well with the Lyft-type case, Uber-type cases. Amber Heard, latest, Elizabeth Holmes. We got a fertility doctor lawsuit. That's a shocker. This is a fun one.
Not another one.
Yes. And a 1992 case being prosecuted now. This is a very interesting murder plot case that we're going to discuss. We got all that coming up this hour, next hour, and we've got a case or no case. Go ahead.
Now it's time to play.
Sorry, Cal, you should have thrown me. Wait a minute. I don't. Cal.
This time I was ready.
What? Cal, yeah. This is why we're off. You were ready. You nailed it.
Yeah.
But Todd had to say something. And I want to hear what Todd had to say before we start case or no case.
Three, two, one, go.
Well, I was thinking we could try to combine the alien show with Radio Law Talk. And the way we could do it is we'd have somebody come in. We talk about their experience in a deposition, but using the same tone as if it had been an alien abduction. I went in, and the attorney was probing me with all these questions. And, you know, there was a bright light, and it was actually the light to take a break to use the restroom, but I don't know what happened.
And the next thing I knew, I was home.
And then, yeah, I was home.
Prison.
I have no idea what happened, and I owe somebody $3 million. What?
Next thing I know, I'm sitting in prison.
Yes.
You know what we could do? We could probably buy the alien show companies.
I don't know.
Do you know the first alien show? Does anybody know that?
Hold on. George Orwell.
Orson.
Orson Welles.
Orson Welles.
Orson Welles, and it was War of the Worlds.
War of the Worlds. And, you know, I still play that on one of my stations on Halloween night. Got an original copy of that. It is awesome.
Now, those of you who haven't heard about it, I want to tell that's a really quick, sorry. That story is about, is in the 50s? He played it in
1938.
And people thought it was real.
They did think it was real, and it was a Martian invasion.
Yeah, this is right. Before the time when stations had to stop and say, you're listening to this station, because station IDs had to come in so people would not mistake program content for news broadcasts and live broadcasting. So he said, oh, it's the humanity, it's terrible. It's landing. Oh, they're eating people. Whatever it is. I mean, it's really cool. You should find it and listen to it. It's available online.
I'll be listening to it on Halloween on your station, sure.
And there are some people who do community theater groups who do reproductions of it, and that's pretty fun,
freaking
too.
Freaking awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, you can go ahead and roll it again. I'll just do it.
Well, let's see if we have time.
Now it's time to play.
Do we have time?
Or no
case. That's okay. It's time to set up.
All right. Now to Frederick, Maryland, where blue-collar dock worker Aaron Peoples has a problem. His daughter got sick, really sick. She was having a seizure. Chandra Peoples had never done this before. For Aaron, he grabbed his car, got in a two-lane road, doing the speed limit of 50. The speed limit was 50. He was lower than that. The car in front of him was doing 30. So Mr. Peoples pulled a bump on the bumper, decided to pass. It was a police car. And as soon as he passed the police car, the police officer lit him up, pulled him over, and examined every document in the car. License, registration, insurance, even asked Aaron if he could search the car. And Aaron, of course, said, I don't think so. All of this time, Chandra was fading in and out of consciousness in the back seat in the arms of an adult neighbor who was holding her up, trying to give her comfort. About an hour and 45-minute ordeal. Peoples finally took his daughter to the ER, and on traffic court day, which he said, I'm going to go fight this, he protested to the judge he'd done nothing wrong. He produced the ticket, which showed he wasn't speeding, documented the times, showed the medical report, even pictures of his daughter's barf to prove she was really sick. I know. He took all this to his own lawyer, who said, you take all of this to court and tell your story as clearly and unemotionally as you can. Mr. Peoples said, well, can I go after the officer? Will you represent me, please? Do I have a case or no case? Well, Todd, does he?
What year was this? Do we know?
1968.
And you said that he did go to court on the traffic ticket.
He did.
What was he charged with on that ticket?
Unlawful passing or some such thing. We came up on the officer's tail, and the officer said he did something illegal at that point, passed him illegally.
So I just want to clarify then that the question presented here is whether or not it's a case or no case as to whether he can sue the officer individually for the prolonged detention and
whatever. Correct, because the fact that he got a traffic ticket means that traffic ticket is a case. He can go to court and fight it if he wants. So that's my understanding of this anyway.
Okay, so here's what I'll say. I think that this case presents an interesting scenario for purposes of whether or not he should or shouldn't be guilty of an actual traffic violation, but I don't think that it ever materialized into a case against the officer civilly for the prolonged detention. So on that grounds, I would say it's no case as to that. He was not able to sue the officer, because I think any attorney that he would have gone to would have said, look, he's in the course and scope of his duties. You can't sue him. He's got the qualified immunity in 1968 for his actions. So never resulted in a civil case.
Okay. Denise, what do you think? Was this a case against the officer?
There was no civil rights violation by the officer. The officer exactly was doing what he did. There's no doubt that he could have had a defense to the ticket. Because he could have had a defense because of the emergency that was, you know, happening, and that he passed the officer to get to the hospital quicker. And the officer was not going the speed limit. So, you know, I feel like he has a defense to the ticket, but he doesn't have an actual civil case against the officer.
Okay, even though we all can agree.
Yes, I know. I agreed with Todd in a different wording.
We all can agree if the facts were stated that he certainly had a grievance against the officer.
Right. When we come back, Fred Petty's going to give his opinion on. Denise Dirk situation here. I can think about it. We'll be back.
Perfect. You're listening to Radio Law Talk. We'll peel back all of the layers of the Radio Law Talk scenario after this on your favorite local radio station, and always free and always live every Saturday 9 to noon on RadioLawTalk.com.
Advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
If you're one of those independent people who wants your own business and you love food service, we just might have a great opportunity for you. Iceberg Drive-Ins. Iceberg is famous for its thick shakes and delicious food. We lend you our supply chain and expertise, and you can potentially have a thriving, successful, fun business that your customers will love. Iceberg Drive-Ins has some prime areas available right now, so if you're interested, get in touch with us right away. Go to icebergdrivein.com and click on the Contact Us button. Iceberg Drive-In. Ready to grow with you.
This is Denise Dirks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
My name is Frederick Penny of Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. I've assembled an excellent team of highly experienced personal injury trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. At Penny & Associates, we will aggressively represent you and your family when someone has been injured in an accident. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
For a free initial consultation, go to pennylawyers.com or call 1-800-616-4LAW and ask for Frederick, Stuart, Rob, Kevin, Kent, or Will. That's Frederick Penny at Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers, 1-800-616-4LAW.
I've got to get my car washed. This dirt is just won't do. But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do.
And I know this place right down the road. Quick, quick, car wash. Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch this daddy shine. Just come and see, I guarantee your ride will steal the show. Come on, quick, quick, car wash. Don't drive that dirty car. Quick, quick, car wash. They'll have you.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world. And that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Stop it.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have
have not been evaluated by the FDA.
And now it's time for us to go back to Radio Law Talk with your host, Frederick Penny, and panel members, Todd Kunin and Denise Dirks. Fred.
Yeah, we were talking about a case or no case, and I'm going to say it is not a case. Unfortunately, I have to follow my three colleagues because I don't even remember why I said it was not a case, but I don't think it was a case where I remember that. That's all I remember. Because well, you know why? Denise is talking about Todd's got 48 points. He's so far ahead, and if he gets, if it's not a case, he automatically wins. So it really doesn't matter what I say. But anyway, no, it is. It is not a case, but he's not going to have a claim against. There's no way he's got a claim against the police officer for passing him, and he gets a ticket just because he's taken someone to the hospital.
Well, it's interesting.
You know what this
it's
means? That you've got a chance.
Cal.
Cal, you've got a chance.
All right, if it's a case, Cal, tell us.
Well, here's the story. According to my interpretation, and I could be wrong about this, so don't throw anything at me. Case and people wins. People's wins, the driver. Not only were the charges against him dismissed, but the officer then immediately became the focus of the judge. He reviewed the entire situation, reamed out the officer in public court, told the officer he was taking his report on the case and the people's paperwork and giving it to his supervisor to try to get him brought up on disciplinary charges, which he did, and he was. The judge wrote in the order that the serve and protect and serve in this matter was derelict, was missing, in other words, what I was trying to say. The police department can and must do better, the judge said. The officer was disciplined, busted a rank. Mr. Peoples did not have to pay the ticket, but he did waste a lot of time because an officer didn't like the way he got passed.
But it wasn't a case.
It was just a disciplinary action against him. So it was.
But the question was, okay, let's talk about this. The question I thought you asked was, that he brought a case against the police officer, right?
I don't think I said that. I said case or no case.
Well, that was specifically what I said. So we're not talking about the traffic case or anything associated that we're talking about. After that, was there a civil case brought against the officer?
And there was not by the guy. This was just the judge reaming him out and getting him in super trouble in the police department.
But
so I called it a case because of that. But
because it was disciplinary.
But you're the judge, though. You're the judge. Disciplinary. So whatever Cal says goes, so therefore, too bad.
Tom. We all got zero.
We all got zero. Okay.
Live another day,
but
Fred.
But here's the best point. But here's the best part about it. Cal gets two.
Yeah.
Now we've got the conflict of interest provision. Okay, I get it. Cal's the judge, but he just... you know, if this were baseball, the folks in New York would be reviewing this one right now.
That's true. But here's the good news. Next hour, a showbiz adage. There's no such thing as bad talent, only bad producers. That's next hour. As Todd just pointed out here on the big broadcast.
Nice.
Next hour on Case and No Case.
Good job, Cal. Casey White. Who wants to tell about the facts of this Casey White case? What happened? Vicky White. There's Casey White and Vicky White, believe it or not. They both had the same last name, but it's a general. It's a pretty, well-known last name. And Casey White was an inmate, and Vicky White was one of the officers in the prison for years. And she wasn't necessarily a prison guard. Wasn't she like an administrator of some sort?
She was a correctional officer. She was a supervising
just
correctional officer.
Retiring, too. And it was just retiring, within 6 weeks or something like that? Go ahead, Denise. Say what happened.
Well, I'll let Todd set it up because this is right up his alley. I mean, because, he does crime all the time, right?
He's a crook.
All I'm going to say is, folks, love was in the air in an Alabama correctional facility. Vicky White, a long-tenured supervisor at the correctional facility, coming up on retirement, apparently had struck up a relationship with an inmate, Casey White, who was serving time, and I believe that time was also in relation to the death of another individual. And, well, she... Miss Vicky White no relation at this time, and or ever. I don't think they ever got married. They just shared the same last name. Maybe that is...
He claimed they did.
Maybe is the thing that tied them together. Star-crossed lovers with the same last name. Well, Vicky White, the corrections officer, said, I've got to take Casey to go see the doctor. And they left. She took him out of the facility, put him in the back of a patrol car. And that's the last time anyone saw the two from law enforcement until the fateful day a few weeks later when after a high-speed chase, the vehicle that Vicky and Casey White were in flipped over. And as determined by the coroner, Vicky White then immediately took her own life with a gunshot to the head. And Casey White was taken into custody and returned to a correctional facility.
And said it. Would you please look after my wife?
That's right.
Yes, he said that. And remember then, if she actually had a legal marriage, he might be entitled to some of her assets that she had. And she had a pretty good retirement plan.
She did. And here's the interesting thing is, now, he's been charged with felony murder. And the question is to our prosecutor, former prosecutor for the district attorney's office in Tennessee and California, now doing some public defender work, Todd Kunin, what is the difference between felony murder and murder? How is Casey White liable for an individual that takes their own life?
Well, so here's the deal. And I got to make sure we have some time here. You know, we're coming up on a break. So what I will say, I'll just start it with this. We know what murder is. Murder is the taking of the life of another individual with malice aforethought. Felony murder has very similar punishments, but is based on a slightly different theory. And we come back, I'll explain that and why Casey White
nice
charged.
Nice setup. We'll be back after this to hear Todd Kunin's awesome definitions.
Yep, Todd with the tease. Nice tease there, Todd. We'll be back with more Radio Law Talk as the big broadcast continues on your local radio station or as you stream off of RadioLawTalk.com.
Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com. Radio Law Talk. Radio Law Talk. This is Radio Law Talk.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0940. 800-670-0940. 800-670-0940. That's 800-670-0940.
I've got to get my car washed. The dirt is just won't do.
The best thing about Quick Quack Car Wash is whenever you go through, the smell in your car is always great, and they have super fun lights and colors.
But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do.
Your car smells good and it's clean at Quick Quack Car Wash.
And I know this place right down the road.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
Get the Quick Quack confidence.
Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch.
Get the Quick Quack habit. Take a car once a week.
Just come and see. I guarantee your ride will steal the show.
I like Quick Quack because of the mascot, Quackles.
Come on, Quick Quack.
So we sell unlimited membership per vehicle. You can add a family plan and add an additional vehicle at a discounted rate.
Don't drive that dirty car. Quick Quack Car.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
President Joe Biden told Arab leaders at a summit today that the U.S. will not walk away from the Middle East. He delivered the remarks at a Gulf Cooperation Council summit, part of a wrap on a four-day trip to that part of the world. Biden announced $1 billion in U.S. aid to alleviate hunger in the region while pressing counterparts to ensure human rights. Many of those leaders lead repressive governments. The president met with the Saudi crown prince on Friday, giving him a fist bump that was criticized by some U.S. lawmakers and the fiancé of slain Washington Post journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Biden said he made it clear that the killing was, quote, vitally important to him and the U.S. The prince has long denied claims that he was responsible for the death. The war in Ukraine lingers in the background of the G20 meetings in Bali coming up this week as leaders tackle global economic issues. This is USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Is this real life?
This is Radio Law Talk. And now, back to the show.
So, Todd, how can this person be charged with a felony murder when the person committed suicide?
Yeah, so we go back to the question we presented that I asked when we went to the break, that I pointed out that murder, just straight murder, is the killing of another human being with what's called malice aforethought, the intentional killing with malice aforethought. Now, felony murder is a little bit different. Felony murder occurs when a person, let's say your defendant, is committing any one of the following crimes, either committing or attempting to commit any of the following crimes: arson, and this is I'm reading from the state of Alabama's jurisdiction, their elements. So if somebody is committing or attempting to commit arson or burglary in the first, second degree, escape, remember that one, in the first degree, kidnapping, rape, robbery, sodomy, or any other felony that is clearly dangerous to human life. If somebody is attempting or committing one of those, and in the commission of that crime, another person ends up dying, whether they intended to kill that person or they intended that person die or not, if somebody dies as a result of this, they are charged with murder, but what's called felony murder. It's a murder that happens during the commission of a specific felony. And it doesn't matter if the person that died was an accomplice in the crime.
Or if they committed suicide, right?
Well, I'll get to that in just a second.
Okay.
It doesn't matter if they were an accomplice. When I read this, my first thought was, really? Because Vicky White died during or as part of, and the third one I said was escape in the first degree. She died while Casey White was in the process of or continuing his escape from custody. And so clearly you have the offense there of escape and somebody died. And even though she's an accomplice, he can still be charged with that. The issue at trial here is going to be what you just talked about, Denise, which is she committed suicide. She didn't. It wasn't like they were in a high-speed chase. There was a rollover, and as a result of the rollover of the car, she died in the process of that. There was an accident. She pulled a gun out, shot herself, and killed herself. And now, if you read the law, technically, the way the law reads, well, I think that the indictment can stand against Casey White because it says, in the course of and furtherance of the crime, escape, another person causes the death of somebody. And it doesn't say that it can't be their own death. And so this is going to be an interesting legal question in Alabama, whether or not this could stand when the death was an accomplice, co-conspirator, and it was that person's suicide. Will felony murder stand on that?
Now, we know that if she had been shot by the police in this when they caught him, right, because there was a little bit of shootout here, guys.
Right.
Yes.
And if she had been shot by a police officer, then clearly it would still apply.
Absolutely.
It would still have the felony murder charge.
Absolutely.
So now, it because of what the law says there, that it doesn't say of themselves, it says of someone.
Yes.
And so that leaves it open. I think it really does leave it open to interpretation.
It says causes the death of, quote, any person.
Wow.
And it doesn't, and it says causes the death. It doesn't carve out an exception for suicide. So
the question is it possible that this guy said, if we get captured, she's a cop, she's probably going to turn on me, I have to take her out right now. Is it possible he actually committed the murder? How rock solid is the conclusion that it was a suicide?
Here's what I will say. They have determined, from an evidentiary standpoint, that she committed suicide.
Okay.
Because to answer your question, if he had pulled the gun out and shot her, he wouldn't be charged with felony murder.
He was murdered.
He'd be charged with murder.
Got it.
He'd just be charged with straight up murder.
Right, and it was her. They did the ballistics and to rule out the officers. Honestly, they tried to rule out that it was caused by one of the officers, and they found that it came from her gun.
Yes.
So,
you know, the interesting thing on felony murder, this one presents a lot of interesting. A lot of interesting twists and turns, but here are other cases where felony murder has been applied. In the state of California, a lot of those have been overturned. You have somebody who, let's say it's the robbery of a bank, and the guy has an accomplice, part of the robbery, but he's the guy sitting in the car waiting for the folks inside the bank to do the robbing and come out, and they're armed. And, you know, the agreement was, hey, nobody gets killed, but one guy loses it inside the bank, shoots and kills somebody. The gang gets back in the car and drives away, and the getaway driver, who was not part of that, charged with felony murder. Now, recently, the law amended in the state of California and in other jurisdictions that under those circumstances, that would not be felony murder as to the driver.
Right.
Or, but in some jurisdictions, that's the way it's
it
applied.
Is.
It's
And that's been taken away as the recent move toward what we would call criminal justice reform, to hold people specifically accountable for that direct crime rather than an ancillary charge.
That is one of them.
Yeah.
That is one of them,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's felony murder.
Well, we're going to see what happens. This is going to go forward. And no matter what, I think the guy's in prison the rest of his life.
He was before because
yeah,
he 25 killed,
year, yeah, 25
he killed
years.
Somebody else.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe even a couple of people. He was not a...
By the way, he's about 6'9". So, big one. Look, I'm going to tell you this story. 1976, in a little town in North Carolina, this man, a gas station owner, was fatally shot and killed during a botched robbery. Okay? So that's what's going on, 1976. 3 years later, the sheriff, which is small town, was convicted of federal racketeering. Basically, he had a brothel scheme set up. He would get bribes. He was out there doing all types of bad things.
A regular boss hog.
A regular boss in a little town. Right.
Boss hog.
That's it. He was.
Nice Dukes of Hazzard reference
there. This guy was W. Robin Pridgeon, and that's what happens. So apparently there's an individual that is in this community or near this community that one of the sheriffs had a little tiff with, and they basically framed him for this murder. And this individual's name was Charles Ray Finch. Charles Ray Finch spent 40 years in prison. And apparently he, during the time period, tried to set it up and say, and his lawyers said, look, this sheriff has been convicted of, you know, racketeering and fraud, et cetera, et cetera. You better throw this thing out, you know, or at least let us get some information out that the sheriff was and people were withholding that would have exonerated him. And they didn't do that. Even after the sheriff, by the way, was convicted of this stuff, they refused to release the agency's files for many, many years. Which, by the way, even in the files, I think a lot of this stuff was probably missing. Not that I'm not saying that for sure, but I would question that.
Seems logical.
Yeah. And for 15 years, they investigated this, and finally, he was released. Here's the sad part. He spends 45, 40-something years, and then in 2019, he finally brings a lawsuit. Against who? Against North Carolina, their insurance company, and the North Carolina State Bureau of Investigations, because they wouldn't give him the information and to exonerate him or that would help exonerate him, and the information that this corrupt sheriff was used or didn't show or didn't bring forth to show that his innocence. The sad part is he dies. He dies of old age, and now the case has just settled for $7.5 million.
Wow.
So luckily, Charles Ray Finch's family is going to get rich, but it showed, I remember this on the news, it shows him coming out of prison. He's got a wonderful big family, a large family. And it was innocent. And that's what scares me about when we try to say people are guilty before they're guilty, right? And it's so sad, and we in the as lawyers say it's better that, I know this sounds weird, that a few people go free that are guilty than one innocent person goes to prison and some states dies and is put to death. So here's an example. Good for the family, $7.5 million, and luckily he's been exonerated. The governor actually pardoned him, and he was innocent. What?
But just that's not very much money for somebody for 43 years of your life.
Right? Well, his whole life was ruined. But anyway, when we come back, we're going to talk more about Uber. Kudos to Mr. Finch, man. We're shouting you out here in Radio Law Talk. We'll be back.
All right. We will have more Radio Law Talk coming up right here on your local radio station and always live on RadioLawTalk.com, where you can find all of our past episodes as well. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Here's Fred Penny with...
Hey, trader, listen up. The markets have changed. Have you changed your trading strategies? Vantage Point can help you conquer volatility. Learn to trade with artificial intelligence. Text the word money to 813-813 and discover how to predict stock market trends 1 to 3 days in advance with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. No matter which way the market moves, Vantage Point's patented AI can give you a massive edge. Text money to 813-813 to get what you need to stay ahead of market.
markets and find your best entries and exits.
Text the word money to 813-813.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and texts using automated technology about offers or info by or on behalf of VantagePoint. Your consent is not a condition to purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text money to 813-813.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
If you pay my fee, I'll take your case.
Are you serious?
This is Radio Law Talk. And now back to the show.
Yeah, earlier this past number of months, we talked about the Brett Favre case. And it's not Brett Favre that is being prosecuted. In fact, you know, I've argued this at least, again, innocent until proven guilty. Brett Favre, in my opinion, has done nothing wrong, and he's not being prosecuted in this $1.1 million of welfare money that is paid to Brett Favre that legitimately, at least that what I have seen and understand, was doing a commercial like he does any other commercials, and they do that. They're paid to do these spots, whether it's for a government or a nonprofit, whatever. They get paid to do that, but there's been issues.
And in some of the instances, there were allegations that Brett Favre was paid amounts for appearances that he never made, and Brett Favre returned the money for those after it came out that there were certain amounts paid. But, you know, you see his name show up associated with these things because, look, these articles show up on the websites for the news outlets. And what do you think the likelihood somebody is going to click on a headline that reads, ex-governor ordered $1.1 million in welfare payments to somebody, defendant alleges, versus ex-governor ordered to pay $1.1 million welfare payment to Brett Favre, defendant alleges. Boy, people are going to be clicking on that.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
It's clickbait.
And it just so happens that there was some defendants that have pled guilty to a scheme where they got $77 million of welfare funds. And so by this focus on Brett Favre, it was trying to distract from the underlying criminality of some other defendants that have since pled guilty and agreed to testify further in criminal proceedings against other potential, other alleged defendants. So what the allegation is that this $1.1 million is not part of the $77 million of misspent monies, because the governor specifically authorized the payment of $1.1 million to Brett Favre to pay for his endorsements and his public service announcements that he did for the state, which would be a fine transaction. The question is, does the governor have the ability to reallocate welfare monies to pay that type of payment? That is a question. And so then the governor is saying we've done nothing wrong, and there was a civil suit that was
former
filed.
Governor, isn't it the former governor? Yeah.
Yes.
I think it's the former governor.
Yeah. Former governor.
Yeah. But at the time he made the appropriation to Brett Favre, he was the governor.
Right.
So it was underneath. Well, he's arguing it's underneath his powers. And so this is now a civil suit brought by the two defendants that have pled guilty. And I don't know exactly what they're arguing, except for maybe $1.1 million should not have to be repaid out of the $77 million. That's the only thing I can think of.
Gotcha.
Right?
So the civil suit is the Mississippi Department of Human Services is suing the Mississippi Community Education Center Incorporated to recoup the money that the Mississippi Community Education Center used on behalf of, that it got from the coffers of the of the Mississippi Welfare Fund. Now,
that's the two defendants were principals of that.
So the individual, Nancy New, she was prosecuted criminally for her involvement, and she has pled in the criminal case. And in the civil case that the state of Mississippi has against the organization, she put in her filings, well, some of the money, $1.1 million that was paid to Brett Favre, as she alleged, that was ordered to be paid by the former governor. And so that's what she is alleging. It's clear. It wasn't all me. Look at all these other people that are doing all these things. And so she's throwing the former governor under the bus to justify $1.1 million of the $77 million that they're seeking to recoup. And from my perspective, she does have a bit of a credibility issue. She was a defendant in a case. As part of her plea, she was ordered to, quote, cooperate, which a lot of people think is code for give testimony damaging to the people we want to go after. And she is giving that testimony, but highly impeachable. If there are no documents, communications, written communications, things to back up her claim that the governor ordered the $1.1 million to be paid to Brett Favre, these claims she's making don't have a lot of corroboration and support if there's no documentation to support it. I mean, it's going to be viewed as somebody who is trying to save their skin.
Yeah, it's a classic bait and switch, almost, right? They point the finger at somebody else.
Yes, look, I'll say whatever I can say to do good on this plea deal that I have. And, we'll see what, this was a legal filing that she made, the allegations that she made. We'll see how her testimony stands up, maybe under cross-examination if she's ever deposed, anything related.
Right, right. We're jumping right into Uber. So Uber Lyft cases, our law firm, we do, just a little tidbit. We do handle a lot of accidents, auto accident injury cases, and we've sued Lyft and had a successful verdict in that one recently. And these cases come forth. But one of the big issues with Uber Lyft and possibly other, it's funny. All we talk about is Uber Lyft. Is there another company other than Uber and Lyft that does the same type of ride share ride thing? Is there another one out there?
Oh, it's called Mom and Dad.
Mom and Dad, yeah. That's exactly
Call the taxi.
Yeah, yeah. Or there's taxis. But I guess, and I think about taxis, too. This never came up, at least that I ever heard of, about taxis. But the big issue is whether or not when you step in that Uber or that Lyft or whatever, are you safe, especially as a woman, for when this driver, what this driver is going to do to you. I say also vice versa. When the Uber or Lyft driver picks someone up, are they safe also? Because you see a lot of these Uber Lyft drivers, they'll have a camera facing you to protect themselves. So there has been a number of women, over approximately 500 across the country, that are now trying to allege that while they're in Uber, they were kidnapped, sexually assaulted, sexually battered, raped, falsely imprisoned, stalked, harassed, or you know, attacked in other ways by the driver. And these lawsuits are coming forth against Uber. I know Lyft is based out of San Francisco, most of them. I believe Uber is based out of San Francisco also. I can look that up. But anyway, they're trying to claim that since 2014, they've known about this. And apparently, which I didn't know, that Uber charges an extra $1 for, which is called a, quote, safe ride fee. And that's supposed to be used to do extensive background checks, education, safety education, and used as a resource to try to eliminate this stuff. I don't believe in 1 minute that Uber or Lyft or whoever, I'm not saying Lyft's not being sued on this that I know of, but Uber is in any way saying they want this to occur or are trying to make this occur. But the argument is that they're not doing enough to protect these individuals, mostly women, of the 500 or so, by getting mandating cameras, a bigger, a more, you know, robust background check or a better background check, a warning system, if they go off the path, the drivers. I say what would be kind of interesting. It's funny. I'm throwing this out there. What about if there's a, you know, say the driver goes off course of where he's supposed to be going or she, and then it notifies and beeps, your phone beeps of the person that's driving, that's the passenger in the back, and it says, are you okay with this, yes or no? You see what I'm saying? I think that would be pretty cool, a system like that. And then some sort of warning system that goes off that doesn't allow the person to drive. Maybe the car doesn't stall, but it starts running rough or something like that. But that's what they're trying to claim is going on. But
I wanted to say that they have tried to increase security and a lot. I mean, you now see the driver's name and the number before you get in that car. You're told the car. You're even told the license plate and the type of car it is when you're doing certain ride shares. So, yeah. I mean, but we also have heard of the opposite, not paying attention, and the person, passenger, gets in the wrong car, too.
Right. Maybe what you do, Denise, you get that one, you press the button that says you want to share it with someone else because you got another person in there with you. But we'll be back. Hour number three, we're going to talk a little about Amber Heard. We've got a whole bunch of other stuff we're going to discuss. I'm here, Fred Penny, Denise Dirks, and Todd Cunin. We're going to be here waiting for you to come back.
This is Radio Law Talk on many great radio stations all across the country and always live at RadioLawTalk.com. We'll be back.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk, Incorporated. Thank you.
Would you like to have an abundance of energy without stimulants? Did you know that if you can remove 95% of the toxins from your body and eliminate excessive inflammation, that your cells become younger? This results in more energy, endurance, and a sharper mind. The majority of your body's ability to detoxify and eliminate excessive inflammation is dependent upon intracellular glutathione production. Toxins and aging combine to shut down glutathione production, making supplementation mandatory. But supplemental glutathione does not work. The most effective means of increasing intracellular glutathione production is by consuming two peptides called gamma-glutamylcysteine and cysteine. There's only one food in nature that supplies both of these peptides in high concentrations. That food is non-denatured whey protein concentrate. The only non-denatured whey protein on the market is green meadow whey. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit bestwheyprotein.net. That's bestwheyprotein.net.